This is Voices of Poverty, a series of podcasts with people living in poverty in the greater Charlottesville area and with those working to help people living in poverty. Voices of Poverty is a project of Leadership Charlottesville, a program of the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce. I'm Becky Waybright with the Leadership Charlottesville Class of 2006. Many people who find themselves struggling in poverty often find it hard to escape their situation. But one organization in the Charlottesville area works with low-income and at-risk families to help fill in the gaps. The Jefferson Area Child Health Partnership, or CHIP, works every day with low-income families. Some of the staff members are low-income themselves, and they understand the challenges of trying to be a good parent when facing ongoing financial challenges. Compassionate and committed, the CHIP staff advocate strongly for their clients. I recently spoke with several employees to find out what they do for their clients.
We work to promote child health. We work in partnership with parents to connect them with resources in the community. We try to make sure that children are developing in a safe environment and that they're developing appropriately for their age. We are primarily concerned with immunization rates for our children. We're concerned with making appropriate referrals for medical and social needs. We interact pretty closely with social services to be sure that Medicaid and food stamps and resources like that are available to our clients. We provide a good deal of transportation to and from appointments in the community.
A lot of times we advocate for clients that may not have the voice and may not have the self-esteem or the ability to talk up for themselves. A lot of times we'll go with them and, you know, if they have a meeting over at the schools and to help them understand what exactly the teachers may be, you know, the teachers may be saying at that time. With whatever they actually need. We do a lot of problem solving. A lot of times the relationship that the clients develop with the CHIP staff, usually I like to think of it as a healthy relationship because we're not judging them, we're meeting them at their level, and we're genuinely concerned about making a difference with the mother and the child.
Are you only working with single moms? Is that typically it, or is that
what? It's single moms, it's first-time moms, it's, you know, very few may have a boyfriend, you know, may be involved with someone for a long term, and we work with the father also. I think, you know, we work with the family, and the family may consist of a mom and a dad, it may consist of a mom, a aunt, a grandmother, but, you know, we work with the whole family, because you may have to get that, you know, you may have to help that father, you know, to help the mom and the child or the grandmother. It's just linking all that's involved in that family unit with all the available community resources in hopes that they do become self-sufficient.
We have three Latino family support workers that work with the Spanish-speaking population, and we have two bilingual nurses that also work with the Latino population, and we have documentation translated in Spanish.
Some of our biggest challenges with our clients, if we're talking about the Spanish-speaking community, it's helping them learn to understand how to navigate a system that's primarily English-speaking, where resources for translation are limited, and also the whole medical environment is different than they may be experiencing in their countries of origin. So there's a cultural translation issue that we're involved in. We're also working primarily with a community that has limited access to transportation and limited access to housing. Once a client of ours loses housing, that becomes a primary issue for us, and kind of everything else gets put to the side. Because housing is such a difficult thing for people to access affordable housing in this community. So that can be a major stumbling block for our clients. And it's difficult if a person is homeless to keep track of them. They may move from place to place readily, and you may not have much contact with them. So particularly if you're working with a client who is pregnant at the time that they're homeless, or has a young infant, following the two of them during times when their medical needs are greater can be really challenging.
What are some other challenges that y'all see for your clients?
Housing certainly is one of the major issues in this community, affordable housing. Jobs that offer a living wage, transportation. When I see the moms and babies walking along the side of Fifth Street extended from Southwood just to get to Food Line to buy a gallon of milk because the buses don't run out there. Fortunately, they are going to begin to run out there, and I'm very excited for that. And dental care for adults. The moms need it as much, if not more, than the children now that we've got the dental center here for the children. Mental health services. I mean, these moms live in, I think they are so frustrated. They see the discrepancies in this community between those who have so much and they who have so little. And they feel like they're overlooked. They feel like they are ignored. They feel like they are, I've heard them say, Charlottesville wants to get rid of poor people. And that's a hopeless situation. And most of these moms face some degree of depression and hopelessness and frustration with wanting to do the best for their children and their families and coming up against roadblock after roadblock.
I just like to say, not to be the negative one here, but I think it's not overall, but I think sometimes there's not enough understanding about what it means to live in poverty. I know that taking clients, referring clients down to social services sometimes it's really become a real, to me, it's become like a real nightmare, because I think sometimes the workers forget that the clients really are not dealing, really don't have the income that they have, and they're, you know, they're living day to day. They may be dealing with mental health issues. They may be going from house to house. And I think sometimes some of the workers really treat the clients as though the benefits are theirs. You know, like it's like it becomes like a personal thing to them, and not just there. I just think, you know, Charlottesville's really, really got to get back on the map when it comes to dealing with low-income families. You see all of the money and you know, you see all of the businesses and all of the people driving around in the fancy automobiles, but when it comes to low-income housing and providing clients with resources that they really need to become self-sufficient, I think that Charlottesville really has really missed the boat. I think that they think that if they ignore the problem that it'll go away. And, you know, if people really don't have money enough to take care of themselves and to provide, to keep a roof over their head, how are they going to disappear and where are they going to go? So we should be focusing on more job training for the clients, trying to get the to advocate to see if we can get John back on board so that they can provide these moms with transportation so that they can become healthy, successful peoples in the community.
I've been working for 8 months, and I am a bilingual family support worker, and I seen on my clients, the Latino population, that they are struggling a lot to get the birth certificates for her sons, even when they are American citizens, because they born in this country. It's a huge challenge that they have. Yesterday I went with a client to get the passport, and it was, I mean, the social security card for her daughter, and it wasn't enough to show that the girl born in this country, because she got now the birth certificate that shows that she's American citizen, but because the mother is from another country and they assuming she's illegal in this country, they don't want to help them at all. And I was surprised to see that the government, they already sent a letter to different agencies, do not accept the border registration card from Mexico. I mean, that to me is really rude, really. I know that there's been cases when people, they cheat and they get false IDs or whatever, but it was really rude to see that the government now say do not accept this, even when the mother, it doesn't have to interfere her legal status in this country in order for her daughter to get the Social Security card. I I got several cases that the parents, they have to wait 1 year to get the birth certificate, the Social Security card, and other stuff that, I mean, they have the right because the children, they born in this country, so I hope. And also, if we can get people to come to Charlottesville, like I'm talking about vital records, if they can, why we have to go to Richmond? It's like in Charlottesville, we don't have to go to Richmond to get our driver's license, but we have to go to Richmond to get a birth certificate, and it's very difficult for my clients.
Hear more from the staff of the Jefferson Area Child Health Partnership later in our series. This is Voices of Poverty. To find out more about CHIP, visit our website at voicesofpoverty.org. Voices of Poverty is a project of Leadership Charlottesville and the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce. Music in this podcast comes from the group Heavy Mellow off of their album Horizons, available from magnatune.com.